As I developed my writing career, the thing that's just always been a beacon for me is reading. I mean, I'm a writer, but I am most definitely, first and foremost, a reader. So bringing the Agatha Christie podcast, Tea and Murder at First, and then Book Imprint into my life was really a way of giving me an outlet to not only be writing all the time, but also reading all the time.
So it's a way of maybe storing the encrypted audio, and then when it's paid for, it's unencrypted. So yeah, could be video, could be a soundbite, could be a translated file, could be anything really that you want. It's just alternative to the primary.
We're talking about suggesting pence, pounds, pence. We're not talking about tens of pounds or hundreds of pounds. We are talking about really small amounts that listeners can give to their shows. And it really helps the creator, covering the cost of hosting. Thank you very much. I'd love that. Welcome to Creators from True Fans. I'm independent podcaster Claire Waite Brown.
And I'm Sam Seffy, the CEO of True Fans.
Each episode, we'll chat with an independent creator, whether a podcaster or musician, about their creative experiences.
And we'll answer questions from independent creators about the True Fans features that can help them with discovery, interactivity, and monetization.
We'll get interactive and see what our listeners have been saying in the comments and super comments.
And discuss what's happening in the wider world that could be a benefit to independent creators. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
I am very well, frozen. Claire, which independent podcast are we featuring this time?
This time, I met Rebecca Tandy Norman to talk about her podcast called Book Imprint. I'm here with Rebecca Tandy Norman. Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
Hi, I'm so well. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Start by telling us the name of your podcast and what it's all about.
Sure. So I am the host and creator of Book Imprint, which is a podcast about the books that change our lives before the age of 25. So each episode is an interview with a different person. They choose a book that they feel changed them in some profound way. We reread or read the book, as the case may be, and then we talk about it.
Okay, sounds fascinating. Why did you want to start this podcast?
Well, I had a podcast that I started in 2022 along with my production team called Tea and Murder, an Agatha Christie podcast. I'm a huge Agatha Christie fan and reader, and the podcast was all about, obviously, Agatha Christie and her work. And after three seasons and 40 plus episodes of the podcast, what kept coming up that was interesting for me was people saying the reason they were Agatha Christie fans was that they had read her at a young age and she had kind of imprinted on them. And I found that to be a really interesting angle to talk about books. So rather than do a fourth season, we decided to pivot the podcast and ask people, what's a book that imprinted on you, that changed your life before the age of 25? And we chose the age of 25 because ostensibly that's when our brains stopped developing. But I just kind of needed a parameter, really.
And how do you choose who your guests are going to be? And obviously, you're not going to know necessarily, I'm assuming, what the book is that they're going to choose, which they are going to reread and you're going to read or reread. So how do you make those connections?
You know, it's a little bit of them, people coming to us and us coming to people we find to be interesting. The motto of the podcast is everyone is interesting. And I think that I try to populate the podcast with as many different industries and types of people as I possibly can, because I really want to show that you don't have to be an intellectual or a voracious reader or someone in the publishing world to be really interested in books and to have books that change your life. So there's all kinds of different people. And for me, it's a little bit of just looking around and seeing who's doing interesting things. Is someone making a cool podcast that I really like? Is someone making an interesting film? Have I met someone recently who's doing some beautiful NGO work that I find really inspiring? It can really be anybody. And again, what I found is when I ask the question, I never get a boring answer.
Yeah. And what's your background that makes you interested in this topic, I wonder?
Yeah. So I launched a website in 2013, along with my co-founder, called Scandinavia Standard. I'm the editor in chief. And the website was the first English language website on Scandinavian lifestyle. I live in Denmark currently. And back in those times, there was nothing English language that you could really find about what was going on in Denmark or the rest of Scandinavia. And that website's now been going for 13 years. And as I developed my writing career, the thing that's just always been a beacon for me is reading. I mean, I'm a writer, but I am most definitely, first and foremost, a reader. So bringing the Agatha Christie podcast, Tea and Murder at First, and then Book Imprint into my life was really a way of giving me an outlet to not only be writing all the time, but also reading all the time.
How does that then fit in time-wise? Because as I've just mentioned, you've got to read the book, which you obviously enjoy doing, and then the interview, and then I don't know how much you get involved with the production side of things, but the research and generally everything that goes into making a podcast, how does that fit in with the rest of your life? Do you find that easy to balance?
No, I do not find it easy to balance. Before we started this podcast, as you saw, my two kids ran into the room along with our 13-year-old toothless dog who just wanders around aimlessly all day. And no, it's not easy to fit in. And luckily for me, I devoted enough time to reading before doing the podcast that this has just taken over that reading time for me for the most part, although I still have a pretty impressive to-be-read pile sitting on my desk that I'm looking at directly. So it's a big commitment. It's a big time commitment. The way that my production team and I have tried to mitigate that a little bit is by having seasons. A lot of podcast creators will recommend not having seasons and just having a rolling, you know, release. And that just doesn't work for us because we do need time off. We need time to recalibrate. I need time to read books that are not being suggested to me by other people. I need time to research guests. So we like to take some pretty healthy breaks in between our seasons. And that has been, I think, the saving grace of both podcasts, to be honest. And also, I mean, I have a full-time job. I have young children and, you know, a life outside of the podcasting world. So I would say it's been a big commitment, but one that I have really profoundly enjoyed.
Yeah, that's often my piece of advice is not to listen to other people's advice. Yeah. You know, when you say, some people say do rolling shows, but really it's more a case of you do what works for you. You have those options. You talk about your production team. Can I ask about them?
Absolutely. They are the best. So we have a little production team called Audie Productions. My production team, the two of them are a couple and they have a really adorable dog named Audie. So we named our production team for him. But Kate is our producer and she has produced podcasts all over the world, including in the US. And it's not her full-time job, but she does it with us. And then Winter, who is Kate's partner, is our sound engineer. And they are trained musician, engineer, and then does sound engineering on the side again for us. So it's really a labor of love for all three of us. You know, we don't make a ton of money at the moment, or barely any really. So it's something that we've all agreed to do as a team. And it's something that we've made into a team effort. So when we do a recording, we get together, we have team dinner, then we do the recording and we do a debrief afterwards, have a cup of tea all together. And it's become not just about the recording, but about the team meeting of it as well. And I am a bit of a Luddite in the sense that I am a bit scared of technology. So it's really wonderful to have both Kate, who has the background in producing, and then Winter, who has the very technical knowledge with sound engineering and editing. I'm not one of those people who could just kind of do it all on my own. It wouldn't work for me.
Yeah. I think that's lovely that you have dinner and a cup of tea and you get that social element of it. That's one of the most enjoyable things as well about podcasting is the people that you meet and get to hang out with.
Yeah.
You mentioned earning a little bit of money. How does that come about?
Well, so we are part of the Acast network, so we do earn money from ads. For Tea and Murder, we had started earning significantly more money. I think some people thought it was a bit crazy to close the podcast at that moment when we'd actually finally started earning significant money because we got some partnerships and that was wonderful. And I loved doing the partnerships. But for me, because it's not my full-time job and I really want it to be about both the content of the podcast, but also this kind of team element that we have together, it just made sense for us to do something different. We were kind of all feeling a bit bored of the podcast and three seasons in, it just felt like let's do something different. And we also have the total openness of maybe we'll go back there. You know, we might drop in an episode now and again of Tea and Murder and that would be wonderful.
Yeah. Again, if it's not your main job, this should be true if it is your main job as well. You know, like if you're not enjoying it, then why keep doing it? This is your choice to do it.
Yeah.
Talking about technology as well, I don't know if I'm going to frighten you now. What do you or maybe your production team know about podcasting 2.0?
I don't know very much. I mean, I was doing some research for this podcast, but I have to say I don't know a ton about any of the technology, which is so embarrassing to say. I kind of get on the mic and I talk and then, you know, books are my whole thing. So I'm like, if it doesn't have pages, it's very difficult for me. So I don't know much about the different features, but I do have questions because there are lots of
elements that I would like to bring into book imprint that I am interested to hear your advice on?
Cool. Hit me. Let's see if I could answer.
Okay. So one thing I would like to do is we have an element of the podcast that is about like a person reads a very short passage of the podcast, of the book rather that they choose. And we then talk about that passage in relation to how the book changed their life and what that particular passage means to them. And I would love to find a way to have a specific transcript of that reading in the episode notes. And I'm not sure if that's possible.
Oh, so because I did hear your show, I listened to the one about the pair of trousers that all the different girls could wear.
Yes.
And you did say in that the transcript is in the show notes, which did confuse me because a transcript can be completely its own thing. That transcript in certain apps, for example, True Fans that we're talking about here, also Pocket Casts, Fountain, actually can come up as closed captions as well.
Okay.
So you can have the transcript as a separate thing. I don't know if you know about Apple makes its own transcripts.
Yes. And we do have, obviously we're on Apple, and so it does populate a full transcript, but I guess I'm more interested. I would love a full transcript of the show and then also a separate section that has just the transcript of the little bit that they read.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know the answer to that.
Sorry. <Really? laughs> Well, I have more questions.
Okay.
My next question is about video content, because I have never tried to do it. And in talking about not taking advice from lots of different people, this has been advice given to me since we started. But I do occasionally think it would be interesting to have some video content accompany the podcast. What is your feeling on that, and what programs do you recommend?
Yeah, see, I don't as well, more because I edit my own podcasts quite a lot and the video wouldn't match. But there is, within podcasting 2.0 terms, it's called the alternate enclosure, and it means that what you could put in your RSS feed, if your hosting company allows, would be your MP3 as your main enclosure. And in your alternate enclosure would point to video content, which could be a whole completely different thing. For the apps that support it, what will happen is when a listener looks at your episode, there'll be a little video icon and they can click on that video icon and see the video within the app that they're listening on.
Mm.
So that is an option.
Okay, interesting. Okay, I've written those down and we're going to check them out. I'll have our sound engineer check them out. But that's what's great about podcasting is you can bring in, people who know what they're doing. And there are so many talented people out there who do know what they're doing.
Another thing that may be nice for you guys in the future is just the ability to comment on an episode. So the ability for listeners on True Fans, you can do it on other apps as well. To actually send a comment that's attached to that episode, and then other people can see that. So it's a bit of a social interactivity, but you as the host can see it as well.
Mm.
The other thing is streaming payments. So listeners have the ability to stream micropayments per minute of listening to your show. So for example, for that episode, I streamed 5 sats. You can set it in True Fans to be in your own currency. I just use sats because I've got used to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very, very small payment per minute. So when your technical guy goes into True Fans and claims the show, True Fans will have saved that money for you. So even though your show isn't claimed in True Fans yet, what happens is when you sign up for True Fans, you get given a digital wallet. And when you claim your show, the money that anybody's been sending you, which for me is like 100 sats or something, don't get too excited, will show up in your wallet. But it just gives an example of how these things can be done. And in the future, you might want to tell listeners, look, you can do this.
Yeah.
And then they can do that without having to think. You know, it just happens whenever they listen.
I love that. That's a lot of new things we can implement. I'm excited. Well, and what's so fascinating about all of it really is, I mean, we did three seasons of another podcast, you know, so we're not new to podcasting, but I do feel like there are so many things happening all the time that you're learning about and new information to be gained and other experts who've been doing this for much longer or who are in a different part of the industry. There really is so much to learn.
Thanks so much, Rebecca. It's been really lovely to speak with you. Tell us how you mentioned the Instagram. Tell us how we can connect with you. Remind us of both of those podcasts and their names.
So Book Imprint, you can find us anywhere you get your podcasts, of course. And our Instagram is at Book Imprint Podcast. And you can also email us at bookimprintpodcast@gmail.com. We love like ideas for guests or ideas for books to cover, ideas for, we're doing a couple of live episodes coming up. So, you know, get in the know about those. And then the other podcast, which you can still stream, of course, is called Tea and Murder, an Agatha Christie podcast. And we are at Tea and Murder on Instagram and TeaandMurderPodcast@gmail.com. If you want to tell me something about Agatha Christie that I didn't know before, which I love to hear. And then you can find me at Rebecca Tundy, Thandi on Instagram as well.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Rebecca.
Thank you for having me. This was really interesting, and I feel like I learned a lot.
You're very welcome. Sam, Rebecca asked a question in that interview about whether she could have a separate transcript for the book reading extract as well as the full transcript. And I thought about that afterwards, obviously, not on the spot. One solution I came up with would be you could take that piece of script that she's read from the book and copy that into a blog. So on True Fans, you can put a blog in, can't you? So
you can.
I was thinking that could be an option so listeners can see the extract on its own while they're still listening to the podcast. What did you think? Were there any other ideas?
In terms of having a separate transcript, no, I think you've come up with the best solution, really. Putting it into your show notes, it doesn't really work because that's not really where you want it. I guess the blog, which is one of the platform features that we do offer that other podcast apps don't, is the only way that you would be able to reference it. So you might say, if you want to go and have a look at the text for this, we've put a blog post. But that doesn't mean that it will appear in any other app. That's the other downside at the moment. That's an interesting question. Thanks a lot, Rebecca. I will have a think about it. Maybe we can come up with a solution.
Thank you. As always, there is a link to Book Imprint in the show notes for this episode of Creators. And new episodes of Book Imprint will appear magically on the homepage at True Fans whenever they are released. If you wanted to comment about anything that Rebecca and I spoke about, you can do that in True Fans. Simply click on the speech bubble icon or on the tab called Comments, which is under the icons.
Now, Claire, one of the lovely things that Rebecca did was look at the book that somebody would read before they were 25. Do you have a book?
I've got books that, you know, I can picture within points of my life, perhaps.
Okay.
When I first went into employment after uni, I worked for Faber and Faber. So I used to go to lots of their events and book readings, and they were all quite highfalutin, the books there. But that was quite interesting to read some of those. And I've gone back and read some of them and gone, what? I don't understand why I got this at that time in my life. I do like Small Island by Andrea Levy. How about you then? I've got to put you on the spot now.
Well, mine's a very simple one. There's a brilliant book by a guy called Viktor Frankl called Man's Search for Meaning. It originally was called In Search of Meaning, but it's now called Man's Search for Meaning. And it's a short, short book. I highly recommend everybody read it. It changed my life. It's the story of a young Jewish physician in Austria who gets sent to a concentration camp along with his family. And his wife and child are separated from him and never seen again. And it tells in the first half of the book the hardship and the pain that he went through. And there's one beautiful moment where he's wearing ill-fitting shoes because that's all he could find. And he's cold. And there's suddenly a ray of sunlight appears on him. And all he can think about is that's his wife. And it's just that moment of hope within the despair of a concentration camp that he clings to. And he then comes out after the war, goes back to Austria and becomes a physician again. And there's one of many stories, so I'm not spoiling the book, where an Austrian airline pilot, you know, drives in with his Porsche, he's got his beautiful wife, several kids, life's good. And he says, I'm miserable. He says, I don't want to live. He says, I don't see the point. And he tries to give him a meaning to his life. And that's the book, really, how he survived the first half, trying to find meaning to the pain and the hurt that he's gone through. And the second half of the book is the stories that he's given to others. And when you read the book, sometimes when you're at your lowest point where you're wondering, you know, what's it all about? I'm paying the mortgage, I'm running around, I feel knackered, I'm stressed. And it's the simplest things that he looks for. And that book gave me a lot of hope, and I highly recommend it. So that's one of them. And then the other book I love is by Charles Handy called Second Curve. And Second Curve is about how you reinvent yourself basically through your life. So you're on your first curve, you might be an expert in a certain topic. But what Charles Handy was saying was, while you're the upward trajectory of a curve, you know, and you're making your money and that's your career and your job or whatever it may be, start to invest in your second curve. Start to become knowledgeable about some topics. So for example, today you might say, oh, I know about podcasting, but I know very little about AI. So my second curve might be playing with AI tools and asking the right prompts and seeing what changes. And then when my first curve becomes on a downward slope, I don't have the skills, I've been passed by others, I have my second curve coming up where I can then start to, you know, gain a new career as or new experiences. So Charles Handy, The Second Curve and Man's Search for Meaning were the two most influential books that I've read.
I'll put a link in my chapters for this episode because I can do that. It's interesting that you say about AI, though, because I'm just going to put this in here. My husband has had a bit of time on his hand, and I've asked him to create the AI that will create the transcript and the chapters and whatnot for podcasts that I make. But it's more than all the other ones offer. And he's actually pretty much done it from knowing nothing.
Wow.
It's very impressive.
It is. And I think fundamentally, those that don't embrace change will be left behind. And those that do will go forward with it.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, back to the show.
Yes. But I thought I'd mention it about the books because that's obviously what Rebecca's topic of her podcast is.
Yeah, what her whole show is about, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. If you'd like to chat with us about your independent podcast or your music, send a comment or super comment in True Fans to any creator's episode by clicking on the speech bubble icon or on the comments tab.
Questions, Claire. Questions. What do you want to ask me this week, Claire?
Well, I'm going back to Rebecca again, actually. And in that interview, we also talked about the Alternate Enclosure, which is a podcasting 2.0 feature that allows you to have extra stuff in another box that is available to your listeners if they are consuming your show in a 2.0 podcast app. I've had a play with it, with sound bites in True Fans, and it worked really well. But can you tell me what the Alternate Enclosure is and give some examples of what other podcasters might use it for?
When you have an RSS feed, your primary enclosure is where the audio file or the video file is stored. So there'll be a URL in your RSS feed that says, look at Buzzsprout or look at rss.com/creatorsfromtruefans/thisname.mp3 or .mp4. And that's how apps like TrueFans look for where's the audio or video to play back in the primary enclosure. And that's what we do. And the alternative enclosure was invented about 2 years ago as an extension to the RSS feed. And the idea was simply, yes, I might have in my primary enclosure my audio, but in my secondary alternative enclosure, I might have a video file or a sound clip or something else. And that's where we are with it now. The alternative enclosure is also very good for maybe if you want to put a translated version. So let's say the primary enclosure is in English, but you might want to put 3, 4, 5, 6 alternative enclosures. It doesn't have to be just one. In TrueFans, we allow you to put links to a YouTube video. And the other thing that we are working on, that we've got working, but we haven't really pushed it out completely, is the idea of premium RSS, having a paid for audio or video file. So the idea would be that your primary enclosure might be a little clip that says, hey, thanks for listening to my podcast, but if you want to hear the whole episode, please pay for it and then you'll be able to hear it. Then you might store the clip in the primary enclosure. So that's available in Apple, Spotify, and it doesn't break anything because they don't support the alternative enclosure. But in Podcasting 2.0 apps, you might then pay and then suddenly you can click on the alternative enclosure and listen to the whole episode. So it's a way of maybe storing the encrypted audio, and then when it's paid for, it's unencrypted. So yeah, could be video, could be a soundbite, could be a translated file, could be anything really that you want. It's just alternative to the primary.
Yeah, I like the idea of the translation. So regardless of the premium content right now, generally, I know what I can do within TrueFans. Is this doable through any other hosting companies? And equally, are any of the listening apps supporting it currently?
Yeah, most of the Podcasting 2.0 apps are. So Fountain, Podverse, Podcast Guru, Castomatic. Not Spotify, not Apple, not YouTube. So a lot of people are saying, well, why bother? But like most things, you've got to start somewhere. And I think when you see the switchability between the primary and the alternative as a user experience, it's really good. And so I suspect that the big players, the Spotify's and Apple's, will adopt it at some point. In terms of hosts, there are several hosts that do support it. Not all of them do yet. We don't know why. It seems a logical thing to allow the user to be able to upload a primary version and an alternative version. You'll be glad to know, TrueFans, when we launch our hosting, will support both the primary and alternative enclosure as a method of putting that into your RSS feed.
Of course, of course. So as a reminder, you can do lots of things in your creator's dashboard in TrueFans now. Once you've claimed your show, and we give instructions for how to do that in episode 1 of series 2 of FanZone from TrueFans. So you can be hosted by Acast, as Rebecca is, but you can add chapters and recommendations and other things that your hosting company may not allow you to do within TrueFans. Those extras will, of course, only be visible to people listening on TrueFans.
Correct.
And we're going to talk a bit more about this because I want the update. But if you decide to be hosted by TrueFans, so let's call it TrueFans hosting, you'll be able to do those things and they will translate to other listening apps that support them. For example, chapters with pics, which can now be seen in Apple Podcasts. Mm. So within your TrueFans hosting, you'll be able to do all this stuff, sharing it to the other apps as well. So I'm going to move straight on with my next question then, Sam.
Right.
Which is, how are we doing? Where are we up to? I mean, I've seen a few things in the background. Where are we up to? What do you want to say to people with regards to TrueFans hosting currently?
Yeah, I'm very excited. Let's just recall. So our hosting idea is that we are going to stream your episodes, not download the full episode in advance. And the idea is it saves bandwidth. Now, the way that we've priced TrueFans is that you have a upper limit. So let's say $20. And then if you consume all $20 in terms of you stream your episode and all the $20 is used, that's fine. But if you consume less, we will give you a refund. Now, that's one of the steps that I think differentiates us from all the other hosts. But what's really cool, and you've seen it in the creator's dashboard, is we now show you the number of apps that consumed the episode. We also show you the total listen time across all those apps. So how many hours or minutes did people listen to my episode? And we also show you the price, how much that episode costs to stream. Now, the next stage, you'll be able to drill down and see of those apps. So we might say 10 apps listened to your episode. We'll be able to tell you which of those 10 apps there were. So was it TrueFans, Fountain, Apple, Spotify? So I think that's quite nice to know of your total listen time, how many minutes were listened to on each app, because then you can work out, oh, I had 12 plays on TrueFans and 16 minutes. And I had on Fountain 9 plays and 18 minutes. So I think it's good to know where your audience is listening. And then on top of that, what we were talking about prior to this show, Claire, is we want to be able to tell you how much that episode cost to stream. So the next stage will be that you can set your own value or suggested value of what you would like your fans to pay. And if you get 50 people who listen to the last episode, you go, oh, probably going to get 50 people again. And if only 10 of those 50 pay you, you now know that you've actually made more than it cost you to stream the episode. So you're now in profit. And so it's a long step of education, but I'm really excited that the hosting is coming along. We are at the point where we've tested moving from two different hosts, putting those into TrueFans, then putting in the redirect, and it all worked. We've then tested uploading a new episode and that worked. And now we're testing the analytics dashboard to make sure that the data that we provide is correct. So is the total listen time for November correct for this episode, and how many plays? And we're taking things out like AI bots that are annoyingly going to listening apps and pressing play to try and get data. So once we're totally comfortable that the data we're giving you and that the process is really smooth, the next last thing we're doing is connecting it to your wallet or to Stripe. So what you'll be able to do is look in your wallet and say, oh, yep, I've got $20 already in there. My fans have paid me. Yep, I'm going to pay from my wallet. Or I haven't quite got enough money in my wallet, so I'm going to go and use my Stripe account and top up my wallet for $10 or $20, whatever it is, and pay through my Stripe account. And as I said, if you don't use up all your data allocation, a bit like a mobile phone when you have, you know, your mobile phone allocation, unlike mobile phones, they don't give you the money back. We will. So you might get $2 back into your wallet and you go, great, I can use that for next month.
Yeah, brilliant. And with regards to the suggested amount you might ask your listeners for, as we've said, this is suggested, you know, listeners can listen for free as always. Mm-hmm. But when we were doing a little, you know, experiment, a little look at it, what it might be, we're talking about suggesting pence, pounds, pence. We're not talking about tens of pounds or hundreds of pounds.
No.
We are talking about really small amounts that listeners can give to their shows. And it really helps the creator to cover their costs. We're not talking about making millions here. We're talking about covering the costs of hosting. Thank you very much. I'd love that.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, you might ask for 1p per minute for a 44-minute show. Thank you. And as you correctly say, Claire, you as the user have the final decision. So you can say, that's a suggested price from the creator. I don't agree. I'm going to give you less or zero. Or actually, Claire, I think you're wrong. I'm going to give you a lot more because I really love the show. And I think if you want to support the creator and you don't want them to pod fade, then yeah, support the creator.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, there are people out there now that have cottoned onto this, but it would be lovely to, you know, share wider the possibility that, that the listeners have to do this, the ability that they do have. Brilliant. Thank you, Sam.
Claire, have we had any messages this week in our fan box?
We have, yes, from the Story of Woman, who we featured in the last episode. Anna Stockline got in touch to say, thanks so much for the opportunity to be on the show. What a great conversation, which it was. And the Orchid Project, which, if you'll remember, was the people that she partnered with for that series. And they got in touch as well. Great episode. Thank you, Claire Waite-Brown and Anna Stockline, for giving a platform to FGMC and the amazing communities driving change.
I love that. No, thank you. Congratulations, Claire. You're doing some great interviews.
Thank you.
And that's it for this week, Claire. Our audio is recorded on Riverside, edited by Claire, and we're hosted by TrueFans.
You can support this show by streaming Sats, as we've been talking about in this episode, from your TrueFans wallet, or leave us a super comment, or you can also become a monthly supporter of this show.
If you would like to promote your podcast in this feed for this show, go to your creator dashboard, then click on the pencil icon next to your podcast, go to the promotions tab, and search for creators from TrueFans and begin your quest.
You can find out more about how to use the features of the TrueFans platform by listening to our sister podcast, FanZone. And if you're keen to learn more about podcasting 2.0, check out my course-based podcast called Podcasting 2.0 in Practice, for which I am about to put out an update episode that explains everything you need to know about Apple Podcasts chapters and Podcasting 2.0 chapters.